The space agency NASA is assembling what it calls a mishap review board to investigate yesterday's very public mishap. Cameras captured the image of an unmanned spacecraft tumbling down to the Utah desert and crashing. The spacecraft called Genesis had gathered microscopic particles of solar wind 1 million miles from Earth. Its crash left scientists trying to determine if the cargo can be salvaged. NPR's Howard Berkus was at the remote Army base where Genesis was supposed to land.
It was a $260 million space mission, difficult to explain, but it was ending with Hollywood stunt pilots and a mid-air rescue. News crews from around the globe watched, along with hundreds of invited guests, who also waved, as four helicopters lifted off from an isolated airfield in the western Utah desert. Two of the copters were fixed with massive poles and hooks. They would be used to snag the Genesis space capsule as it floated beneath the parachute. Then the capsule and its fragile cargo would be lowered gently to the ground. That was the plan. This is what happened.
It looks like we have a no-shoot, sir. Vector 200,
mission
put it
manager,
on your nose, 8 miles, look for an impact.
SPC, impact at 5855 past the hour.
We have an impact bearing 200, 8 miles.
Do you have an altitude?
That's impact, sir, ground level.
Without parachutes to slow its descent and to snag on the helicopter's hook, the Genesis capsule smashed into the ground at close to 200 miles an hour. That brought Genesis program manager Don Sweetnam nearly to tears.
It's a difficult moment right now. I have run through in my head the mental scenario of every step of the way. And boy, did it clicked off perfectly today. But there's a lot of series steps and a lot of things that have to happen in series. And we got just about all of them done, and we just didn't get the last two or three done.
Early speculation focuses on batteries that were supposed to trigger the deployment of two parachutes. But a review board is expected to take months now to firmly determine the reason for failure. Scientists hope to assess more quickly the condition of the capsule's cargo. Genesis spent more than 2 years gathering the breath of the sun, particles of solar wind, billions of them. They were embedded in fragile silicon wafers. Again, NASA's Don Sweetnam.
The absolute worst case would be you've got a bunch of shards of glass in the bottom of the canister. That's not a real good thing. But even that, you know, you could painstakingly, it's like putting together, you know, a 1,000-piece puzzle that's just one solid color, you know. You have to go back and painstakingly go through it and be patient.
Contamination is also an issue. And late last night, recovery crews dug the pancake capsule out of the soft desert soil, finding it cracked open and clogged with mud. Don Sevilla heads the Genesis payload recovery team.
The solar wind atoms have been embedded very shallowly, and it's going to take some time for us to assess and develop the techniques to ensure that any contamination on the surface can be cleaned without hurting our science objectives. And you're going to just have to be patient because this is something new.
Scientists were expecting to find clues in the particles to the creation of our solar system. Now they face questions about the wisdom of such missions. NASA managers downplay any long-term impact, calling the crash an anticipated contingency. And it's not the worst one, says Andrew Dantzler, director of NASA's Solar System Division.
The worst-case scenario would be to slam into the side of a mountain, land on a much harder surface, the capsule completely disrupted in pieces all over.
Still, there were dejected faces and stony silence when the helicopters and their stunt pilots returned empty-handed to the remote Utah airfield. Today, scientists plan to clean the capsule as best they can and ready it for shipment to the Johnson Space Center in Houston, where more extensive recovery work will begin. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
You can find photos and background on the Genesis mission at npr.org.